And so Genesis 37 and verse number 12, and the Bible says, let me get turned on here, sorry fellas. Genesis 37, 12, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel did unto Joseph, I said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he brought him out of the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him and said, and he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. We'll pause there. And you see how Joseph is doing as he was told to do, as his father told him, as the Lord had directed him, and evil came upon him. And we'll look at this story of Joseph and his betrayal today. Joseph and his betrayal. Let's bow forward to prayer and ask for God to bless our service. Again, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, and I pray that you would bless this message today from your word. Lord, we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. May you please speak to our hearts and help us to learn what we need to grow. And will you please help us today? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph, as you know, that he was the loved son of his father in a coat of many colors that God gave to him. And God not only gave him a special love by his father and a special coat by his father as well, but he was given dreams by God. And as Joseph had the dreams that the sun, moon, and stars would bow down and worship, and the sheaves would bow down and worship him, and as he told it to his brothers, they hated him, and they hated him more and hated him more. There was a lot of hatred and jealousy and anger within the family. And as you could see, as this story begins, that Joseph, as is another day, his brothers are out watching the sheep. They're watching the sheep, and his father came to Joseph and said, Joseph, I want you to go and check on your brothers. See how they're doing. Now, why did his father send him to go look after his brethren, after his brothers? Well, you see from verse number 1, that at the end of verse 1, that Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. This was when Joseph was feeding the flock with his brethren, and not sure exactly what the evil report was or what they did, but either way, an evil report's an evil report. And so maybe the father thought, I wonder what your brothers are doing today. Now you leave a bunch of brothers out in the field together, and they're going to find something to do, right? Something dangerous, something naughty, they're going to find something to do. And, back in the day when kids just, you sent them outside and said, go play. I know it's a different day and age, and we don't do that. We're not sending the kids up, go have fun, we'll see you tonight. It's a different day, and in the backyard, that's one thing. The front yard, growing up, I grew up on a decent bit of property, and we would go explore, right? We go explore, and we would get poison oak. Like, that was like a rite of passage. At least once a year, we were getting poison oak, and we'd find stuff and build a fort and shoot things, throw things, build something, You just find something to do, and so Joseph was going out to see what his brothers were doing, to bring a report back to their father to see if they're obeying, disobeying, whatever they may have been up to. And Joseph did not realize when he left the house that day he would never return again. Think about that. He would leave and never return. You see posters, billboards on freeways or grocery stores missing, and I think especially Walmart is one of those. You enter, I don't know if they still do, to be honest. I try not to go there very often. And so you see at the front there, and you'll just see posters just missing, missing, missing. And you can just, it becomes a blur. It just becomes another name, another face. But to someone, that's a son or a daughter.
That's a brother, a sister, a parent of someone that has gone missing. That's just been recently in the news with Nancy Guthrie, this lady that was kidnapped, taken, still a mystery. But you think of that, if that's your family member, that's not just a name, it's not just a face, that's someone that's missing in your home. Joseph would leave this day and he would never return. And other than his brothers, and they would know what happened to him when he left, but not what happened to him after that. His father would never know until many, many years later, that his father would never know the whole story. He would never see his mother again, never see his home again. And things were different from this time on because of the betrayal of his brothers. I want to look at this story today and kind of walk through the steps of this passage here. I want you to look, first of all, in verse number 13 in Israel. Israel is the name given to Jacob by the Lord. And Israel said to Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said to him, "Here am I." The father gave a clear instruction to his son. He said, "I want you to go, and I want you to go to Shechem." And he's going to eventually find him in Dothan. It was about a day's journey. It wasn't just over the mountaintop, and maybe it was a big mountaintop, but it was a ways away. But he would take a long day's journey to go find his brothers. And his father called him, and you see the instruction from his father, but then you see the obedience and the submissive spirit of Joseph. You see this phrase a number of times in the Bible, and it's a place of submission. You see, Samuel would say, "Here am I." Isaiah would say, "Here am I, send me." And "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," is what Samuel would say. But at the end of this verse, Joseph said to him, "Here am I." A place of submission. Joseph was in obedience and submission to his father. And he said to him, "Go." He said, "I want you to go and I want you to check on them and bring a report back of how they are doing." And the Bible says that, so he sent him out of the vale of Hebron. The end of verse 14, he came to Shechem, and a certain man found him. And behold, he was wandering in the field, and he asked him, he said, "What seekest thou?" And he's wandering around thinking, "My brothers have to be somewhere. They've got to be somewhere." And if you've ever been sent to go and check on your siblings, that's not always the most exciting thing to do. All right? And he's going to find his 11 brothers out somewhere. You think 11 brothers and a bunch of sheep. You can't be hiding too well. And he's maybe thinking, "They're doing it to me again. They're hiding." And he goes out to find them, and he is wandering in the field. And a man says, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for?" And he's, you know, he's not there, not there. And as he looks around, and he said, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. I'm seeking my brethren. And they said, "They departed hence. I heard them say, let us go to Dothan." He went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. So we see here, first of all, about this betrayal of Joseph. It started off with Joseph's obedience. The obedience of Joseph. Although evil would come upon Joseph in his life, it started out with obedience and submission from Joseph to his father. It started off with Joseph doing right. You ever had evil come upon you in your life and you think, "But I was obeying. I was in church, raising my family for God, and I was doing right. I was obeying the boss. I was obeying the speed limit. I was doing right." And this is what happens. We'll get to the point there in a little bit about the evil that came upon Joseph. And Joseph would never blame God. And he would never use that as an excuse to walk away from the Lord. Joseph had an obedient and a submissive spirit to his father's instructions. He was given the instructions by his fathers, and he traveled miles to go check on his brothers. A couple thoughts about this morning about the obedience of Joseph is this. You think of Joseph as a picture of a Christian and the Father, a picture of God. Our job is not to question the Father. Our job is not to question the Father. And he said, "Go check on your brothers." And as children would do at times, why do I have to go check on them? Right? That's not my job. Why do I have to go do that? You never saw any arguing. You never saw any complaining. You never saw a bad spirit. All you can see from this passage is a submissive and obedient spirit from Joseph to his father. Didn't argue, didn't complain, didn't quit. children, you know, at times will do this, you know, it wasn't my job, why didn't you ask my brother, and all the stuff that you may come up with, but even as an adult, you know, that's not my job to do that. It's not our job to question the instructions of the Father. Whether or not we understand what God has asked for us to do, whether or not we agree with what God has told us to do, it is not our job to question, it is our job to obey the Father. Our job is to obey the Father, and to obey the Father is to obey as you would teach your children, immediately, completely, and submissively. Isn't that what you would want? Now, maybe you're not in the parenting stage. We are, all right? But you would ask for obedience to be immediate, not delayed. You know, I'll get around to it tomorrow. No, I didn't ask. If I wanted it done tomorrow, I would have said do it tomorrow. If I'm saying go and do it, it means like right now, right? And immediately, just hop up and do what you're told. You think, wow, what a blessing that is. But not just immediately, but completely. Not half done, not mostly done, but completely done, and with a submissive spirit. Submissive. That you'd hear, yes, Mom, yes, Dad, yes, sir, I'll do it right away. And again, as has been said before, as the parent gets up from the floor after being in shock, that their children obeyed immediately, completely, and with a submissive spirit. You know, that's what God wants from us today. That we would obey the Lord immediately, completely, and with a submissive spirit. That when you come to the Word of God and God asks something from you, that you would obey it immediately. Not come to the Lord and say, well, I'm not sure if that was for me. Say, well, I'm going to obey most of it, but I don't think I've got to obey it completely. You know that if a lot is a sin, a little bit's a sin as well. You ever think about that? Think about drinking, right? Drinking, you know. If a lot of drinking is bad, isn't a little bit bad as well? Wouldn't you think so? If a lot of lying is bad, a little bit of lying is bad. It's amazing how in society we've categorized, well, it was just a little white lie. I just fudged the numbers a little bit, you know. And the little sins that God is not pleased with, that God wants immediate, complete obedience with the right spirit. Joseph went out to obey his father and did exactly as he was told. And he didn't quit. He came to a field and he could have said, Dad said they're in Shechem. I looked around, oh, not there, I'm going back home. But he even went the extra mile. He went around and searched and he found a man and said, where are my brothers? They went to Dothan. And he went even further to go and find where they went, to go the extra mile. You know, the Bible says that we are commanded, that is asked, that if you were asked to go a mile with someone, to go the extra mile, to go with them twain, as the Bible says, to go the extra mile. You'll find people today that will do just the bare minimum. I'm obeying, I'm doing what the boss asked, but just enough. We've had a few of our young people that have gone in school and got some secular jobs. And they went to go get a job and make some money. Praise the Lord for young people that want to go and work and labor and do it right. And I know there was one, for instance, I've heard of them. They said when they were given a task to do and that was done, think about this. They went and found more things to do. And they went to find, and they were doing jobs they weren't even asked to do, just to go and find something to keep busy. And you could imagine this. And I was told that the co-workers were not happy with them. You know why? They're making them look bad because they went to go and clean the tables to make sure they're clean and taken care of and the trash taken out. Everything is done and gone over and above what's asked of you. See, again, a picture of this, when the Lord asks something from you to do, let's not look to do the bare minimum for the Lord. Let's go the extra mile. I was thinking about this yesterday in regards to the work day and where we all met together and I know it was going to be a little bit of a warmer day, but a beautiful day. And I was thinking as we're kind of looking at the tasks to do, and I'm thinking, man, there's going to be a lot of people crawling around on hands and knees. And we had people pulling weeds and weed eating and burning the field down and all the fun stuff that we had going on yesterday. And I thought, praise the Lord for people going the extra mile. The extra mile, just I wasn't inside, and the ladies did an incredible job. I wasn't there, but wiping things down and cleaning, going over and above, not just here's the task I have to do, but what else can I do for the Lord? And what a blessing is it to get to do something and labor for the Lord. See, our labors, if it's for man, that lasts for a period of time. But when it's for God, the Bible says you'll have your reward in heaven. Going the extra mile. We see, first of all, the obedience of Joseph. But then second of all, we see the evil plans of his brothers. Would you look down in verse number 18? When he found them, he came to Dothan, verse 17, then verse 18. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They thought, we're far away from home. Dad's not going to see or hear anything. He'll never know. They conspired. They said, here he comes. We read this next verse. They said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. They were done with Joseph. They said, let's get rid of him. So they have this plan. They says, come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. What an evil plan to think that someone would conspire against someone of their own flesh and blood, someone that lived in their home, someone that they grew up with, that they had all seen him born. All of them were older except for Benjamin, the youngest, and as he came, they conspired against him and just to do some, not just some evil against him, but to kill him and throw him in a pit and to deceive their father that some evil beast hath killed him. You think of the evil that the brothers had in their heart. You think, how could someone get to this place in their life? You know where it came from? Earlier in the passage, where they hated him. And they hated him more, and they hated him more, and they had jealousy against him. You know that in the heart, that the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And when we allow something in the heart, you may think, it's not a big deal, I'm just thinking it in the heart. I'm just considering it. I'm just letting it dwell. It's just anger. What's the big deal? It's just hatred. It's just bitterness. The book of Hebrews, the Bible says that bitterness in the heart, it springs up and many are defiled by it. When we allow the hurts in the heart to stay and to fester and to build, it shows itself in the fruit of our lives in a very dangerous way. You've heard it before. How could someone do this kind of evil? I knew them. Many times you don't hear, oh, I thought the neighbor was capable of that. What do you hear most of the time? I would have never imagined it. They were nice. They were pleasant. I worked with them. I knew them from a child, but something, and they go and search their search history. Look at what they've been up to, and there was some bitterness, some hatred in the heart that built up over time. And then at one time, it's shown, and some evil that they could do that seems to be unfathomable because it started in the heart. That's a challenge for us, church, that we must be careful of the sins of the heart. Because the sins of the heart eventually will come out in our lives and show itself in some way that will harm others, it will harm ourselves, but most importantly, will harm and hurt the Lord. They had an evil plan. They said, let's kill him. Let's kill him. And this jealousy and this hatred and bitterness in their life, this hatred brought them to a very low and a dark place where they said, let's just get rid of him. And then in verse number 21, you see here where Reuben, the oldest brother, intercedes here, and Reuben heard it. And he delivered them out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Now, whether it was figuratively or literally, he grabbed them out of their hands, not 100% sure, but he said, let's not kill him. But Reuben said to them, shed no blood. Thank the Lord that someone spoke up. Amen? You know, there's a time to speak up for what's right. Say, well, I don't want to be the one. No, be the one. What are they going to say? What are they going to do? Well, what would God want you to do? Speak up if it's the right thing to do. Now, he spoke up, but he kind of halfway got right in this area. He said, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness. and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So Reuben had a plan kind of halfway. Let's not kill him, but let's still throw him into a pit. Now, he was trying to spare Joseph's life, and as you see at the end of this verse, he wanted to deliver him back home again. He wanted him back home, but he still threw him in the pit. Instead of saying, let's go back right now. Let's do the right thing right now. Let's not linger or wait at all. So let's throw him in a pit. And so he wanted to deliver him from the rest of his brother's hands that wanted to hurt him. Look down at verse number 23. And they took him and they cast him. I'm sorry, verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph of his coat. His coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brethren, they couldn't kill him because Reuben spoke up. They said, well, let's just try something else. And they said this, look at this phrase here, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? They were looking at how can we benefit from our brother somehow? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. They said, well, let's not kill him. Let's just do second best. And you think about this as they're trying to justify their own sins. They're trying to justify the wrong that they were doing. You know this, the lesser of two evils is still evil. Right? In other words, you heard this said before, two wrongs don't make a right. Now, Joseph hadn't done the wrong, but just because this is less evil than the other doesn't make it right. The right thing to do is always the right thing to do. And they said, well, instead of killing him, let's just throw him in a pit. And instead of just leaving him in a pit, and as they sat around eating, you could just see the casualness that they had, but also the callousness they had. Let's just, how else can we profit from his death or selling him away? Well, we won't profit from his death. Let's just sell him to the Ishmaelites. So they said, well, let's just sell him away. And look down here in verse number 28. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. They waited there long enough till the Midianites came, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Again, as we've said before, Joseph is a picture of Jesus. From the New Testament, of course, and although Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver in the same manner, Joseph was sold into slavery and betrayed by his own to be killed, to be in slavery for the rest of their life. They didn't care. They just wanted him gone. So they sold him away in verse number 29, and Reuben returned unto the pit. And he had not been there for some reason, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes, and he returned to his brethren and said, this child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, and they killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat, an evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. We see the evil that they had. They had an evil plan that came from an evil heart. An evil plan that came from an evil heart, and they followed through with it and wouldn't get right about what they had done. They faked his death. They went and killed one of the sheep, one of the kids or one of the goats there, and they killed it and dipped his blood in it and brought it home and just let their father figure out what happened to him. You see their deception. You see their lies. You see their hypocrisy that they had. In Mark chapter 7, it says, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornicators, murders, from within the heart. We must protect our heart. We must protect our heart. Remember that these were not just any brothers. They were the sons of Jacob. They were the grandsons of Abraham. These are going to be the 12 tribes of Israel. They were not just anyone. They were raised in a godly home and taught about the Lord. They were part of the lineage of Israel, but because they had evil in their heart, they followed through with evil in their lives. They had evil in their heart. And Joseph, we don't see him say a word from here on out through this whole process of he being sold away. Could you imagine Joseph thinking, what is happening? Am I in a dream? Is this a nightmare? What is actually happening? This must be a joke. And as he sold away, he thought, that's not a joke. And he realized what had happened to him in his life. We see the obedience, first of all, of Joseph doing what he was told to do. And then we see the evil of his brothers. But then thirdly, we see this, an unexpected turn. We see God's perfect plan. God's perfect plan. I want you to see here verse number 34. We stopped at this verse. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And he was in such sorrow. Again, he loved this son more than any other. Not right to love the one more than the other, but that was the case. And he mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, for he said, "For I will go down to the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Even through all the sorrow, none of them spoke up and said, "Dad, I need to tell you the truth. I need to tell you Joseph's alive, and we could go get him if we want to. We could buy him back." Never once. And they came to comfort him, even in their deception. I think what an evil heart to do that. But what I want to do is take a turn with this story here in verse number 36. "And the Midianites sold him into Egypt, unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard." You think, well, what good is coming from this story? Well, remember the dreams from Joseph? That God gave him the dreams that those in his family were going to bow down and worship him someday. God is bringing Joseph to exactly the place where God wanted him. Does that mean that God wanted his brothers to do this evil to him? No. God never puts his stamp of approval on evil or sin. But it's amazing how God can use the negative or the difficult or the harmful things in our life to bring us to God's perfect place and God's perfect plan. Again, Joseph hadn't done anything wrong, not perfect. He was following his father's plan and not realizing how his life was going to turn and change. He'd never go back home again. But God's plan was for Joseph to end up in Egypt. You say, well, why did God want him in Egypt? Because Joseph was going to rise to a place of leadership, to where he would spare not only the Egyptian people, but the Israelites, and God would use him in his life. God's perfect plan. Again, God did not cause the brothers to do evil or sin. Never blame sin upon God. Never blame sin upon God. God, why would you make this person sin? God would never tempt anyone with sin. God is perfect and holy. But it's amazing how God can use the evil that someone may cause upon you in your life, or maybe the hurt that comes upon you, that He can turn all things together for good. Romans 8:28, "But we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose." That God can turn all things together for good. Even Job would say, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." You think, well, why did, you maybe have questions in the back of your mind. Why did God let this happen? Why did God let this happen? And you start thinking through your life about the hurt upon your life that may never go away. You're never going to forget about it. And there may be someone that's not around anymore, a hurt that's caused. But God, what are you trying to do? It's not for us to question God, it's for us to trust God. But it's also for us to trust God's plan and God's timing. There's been times again in my life, and I'm sure that many of you thought, God, I'm doing what you asked me to do, and this happened? You've been there before. God, I've been obeying you. I'm trying to live right. And maybe in that time you think, God, did I do something to bring this harm or evil or hurt upon my life? And God allows trials to come into our life. But it's amazing how God can turn sometimes even the evil or the sin or the hurt from others upon your life to work it out for good. See, God has brought you in your life from a place from your childhood to where you are now, and God has a plan for your future. Are you willing to trust His plan? Joseph is now in some kind of a cart, on some kind of a horse or whatever it may be, and he's on the road going to Egypt. And he must be thinking, God, I don't think this was the dream. You didn't tell me this in the dreams, right? God, you missed this part. But God has a plan. He wouldn't know for about 20 years how that plan was going to work its way out. But we know this as we see in Genesis 39. But the Lord was with Joseph. Even being thrown into a pit, but the Lord was with Joseph. Even on his way into slavery, but the Lord was with Joseph. Even being sold again to Potiphar's house, the Lord was with Joseph, and God had a plan. I think it's a reminder in our lives to remember this, that God has a plan, that we don't know the end of that plan. We don't know the end of the story. Have you ever thought in your life, I wish I knew it was coming tomorrow or the next day or the next year. You ever thought that before? I wish I knew it was coming. And then all of a sudden you think, no, I don't want to know what's coming. I'd rather be surprised. Lord, just bring it to me a little bit at a time or suddenly. I don't want to know what's coming tomorrow. But know this, that you can always trust the Lord. You can always trust the Lord, that God works all things together for good. Not some things, but all things to them that love the Lord. That's the caveat there. To them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You keep trusting God and His plan, and God will work it out together for good. You say, but the loss of a car, or a job, or a loved one, or of health, how can you work this together for good? I don't know, and you may not know, but God knows. Trust God's plan and God's timing, and God will work it out together for good. The betrayal of the brothers. Again, God did not want the hurt or the sin to happen, but God had a plan for where He wanted Joseph to get in his life. He wouldn't know it for years to come, but he would find out eventually that God had a perfect plan and God would work it out together.